You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
And welcome to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. Very nice to be with you this morning, Jonah.
Yeah, same as you. How are you doing? How are things?
I'm good. I'm a little worried about you because I know you don't like mornings.
I don't like mornings. I don't like Mondays either. I think it's a song. I don't know who. Probably The Cure.
Definitely a song.
And it's probably not The Cure. I made it up. Anyway, so
the
yeah.
The Cure is Friday.
Yeah,
I'm in love.
Yeah, that's why I mess it up. It might have been Kate Bush. I'm done at making up things, and I'm going to get corrected by everyone who knows all the answer to these things. I don't like mornings, and it is early morning on a Tuesday, though, so at least it's not a Monday, so we're okay.
That's a good point.
It's been a rough morning with it being 3 degrees last night for the chickens and their water and having to put them all away in the new shed and make sure they stay warm and get their temperature gauges and push them physically together so they keep each other warm and they don't like that. So it's a whole thing. It's a little exhausting. My dog is also doing the thing now where he wants to go outside. He loves the snow and he attacks it vociferously. And then he does the one paw up. He's like,
yes.
Cold paw. And I'm like, really? He's like, cold paw. I got to come inside. And I was like, you're such a baby. So it's been a really long morning.
But. Well, it's cold. It's dark.
Yes.
But this has to be about our 1 year anniversary because I think when we did our first episode, we talked about New Year's goals.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. This is episode, 13, and we try to do one a month. So we doubled up a lot in October.
Yeah.
So 1 year, probably-ish.
Happy-ish anniversary.
Happy-ish anniversary.
Well,
this podcast could have been an email.
It is cold and it is dark, but I can't think of anyone better to warm us up and brighten our moods than the Berkshire Community College Dean of Students, Celia Norcross.
Such a good intro. That was amazing. Wow. I was still thinking about these chickens. You know, the joke would be like, it's nothing wrong with frozen chicken there, Jonah. Right?
And
okay,
right.
So maybe. Right. And I heard Adam had a rough morning this morning too, really cold, and he had one paw up. So
I still kind of do.
Let's see if I can warm you both up
absolutely.
Today.
You already have just by being here.
Oh,
so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's so sweet.
Well, Celia, I would imagine that anyone who listens to our podcast already knows who you are, but just in case they don't, and we have a couple of Minnesota listeners, and they actually probably don't know who you are.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Their names are Ben and Matt, so say hi to
Ben and Matt.
Yeah. Ben and Matt.
I hope you're not cold in Minnesota.
You know that, like, as soon as Ben listens to this podcast, every time he, like, texts me and he's like, thanks for the shout out.
We should. Ben and Matt are important in Minnesota. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. But for Ben and Matt, could you introduce who you are, how long you've been at BCC, anything else you want to tell us about yourself?
Sounds good. So Ben and Matt, this is Celia Norcross, the Dean of Students over at BCC. I'm so sad that you're not here today with us, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So I've been here for 6 years. This is my sixth year at BCC and spent about 18 years over at MCLA. And, that just tells you maybe time in my life and not who I am. But one thing that's really important to kind of note if you don't get to ever meet me is that I love working in higher ed. And students are really the focus of my work, but more importantly, the focus of my life. There's lots of things I do outside of even BCC that are really youth-based and student-based. So Ben and Matt, when you think of me and hear this voice, I want you to think of all the good things that come with not only higher ed, but helping others in the world.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
It is. I actually had a conversation with Gabriella Sheehan, who's been on the podcast, our Trio director, yesterday. And we were just kind of talking about work and our future. And if we won the lottery, what would we do? And Gab has all of these things. Like, she wants to do organic farming or I don't know what Gab wants to do. She raises bees. She does all kinds of things.
She's pretty cool.
And it kind of occurred to me in that conversation that this is really the only thing I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things, like, I like to follow the Vikings, and I like sports, and I like music, but, like, when it comes to getting up in the morning and going to do work, working in higher ed, helping people is the only, like, I can't imagine doing a different job.
100%. And I think that was what motivates us. The only thing, though, I will say is that if I had any other career choice besides maybe singing on Broadway, which never will happen, by the way, is to open a daycare. I would love a little daycare. I want, like, snotty Lowe's little kids, and I want them to cry when they're hurt, and I want to make them little lunches.
You'd be so good at that.
You would be
I would
so
love
good
that.
That.
We'd make crafts every day.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. that's kind of what I do here, right? Like we, and maybe not the crafts, but you know,
sometimes you do crafts.
There are kids that are crying in my office, and we help people be better, and we help them learn.
And
so
with this cold season,
I guess it's the same.
Yeah, with this cold season, everyone's got a snotty nose. So,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, you're almost there.
That's right.
Just the age difference.
Jonah, if you were going to do something other than what you do, what would it be?
I would retire to Sheffield, open a farm for animals that could no longer like be part of the farm community, and then take care of them as they go through the end of life.
Oh, that's I'm going to come work for you. Yeah. That's so great.
Oh, so when people's dog or cat goes to a farm, it would be your farm.
It would literally be my farm. I'm thinking more horses and pigs and chickens and all the large animals. I have no background in any of this, and I know I would never, ever be able to do this because my heart would break every single time I saw a sick horse, but like my goal, if you read my 40 under 40 profile from 2016, that's still what it says. So,
see, and that's the most important thing. So it doesn't matter that you know what you're doing.
Right.
It matters that you care because you will learn it, and you will care so much that you will learn everything you need to along the way.
I will say we have chickens now and way too many cats. So we have six cats and way too many dogs, obviously. And my husband does do all the things that I know I can't do, and then I'm the grunt worker. So I feel like as long as I grunt work on this farm and he can take care of all of the emotional
traumatic
things.
You're holding up your end of the bargain.
It'll be fine,
yeah. I think you've got the farm already.
We do, and on a quarter acre too.
See?
So like we're halfway there.
It's just not official.
It's not official. No.
There's the Dean Matt's Matt Square.
Just popped in.
Did
they do
in. How powerful.
Like, they kind of just both popped in and grinned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Matt Squared.
Matt Squared.
Yeah. So, Celia, for those who are listening that don't fully understand what your kind of day-to-day is, you teased it a little bit, but what does a dean of students do?
So when I'm talking to people, I usually tell them that I push the college to do everything possible that would help the student experience, and that comes in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's with administration or faculty and staff and helping support them in and out of the classroom with questions they have, and sometimes, quite honestly, it's just pushing the students to know that they can do it and be better. Obviously, that's kind of holistic view of what I do, and the day-to-day could look very different, where we're in meetings making decisions on what types of curriculum students will be supported by, what how long the bookstore is open for, right? What the food menu might look like. There's a variety of different things. You know, the parts of the work that we do are so important, and nobody pays attention to the little tiny things, and that I feel like is my job, is for me to kind of poke at the institution's little things and find out what students are enjoying, what they're not enjoying, what they're feeling are working for them and not, because overall we want them to have this experience where they value the BCC education.
That's really great, and I think your point about all these little moments kind of adding up to being the student experience, and every time we have the gift of having an interaction with a student, knowing that that can be the thing that can make the difference between the student persisting on or going somewhere else, and how powerful those moments are. So I'm really curious to know how you ended up in this work, but I think we'll take a quick break, and when we get back, love to hear a little bit more about your history.
Sounds good.
You're listening to this podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College. Don't miss the unofficial holiday get-together on Friday, December 19th at Hotel North, starting around 4 p.m. This end-of-the-year celebration allows faculty and staff and their families to celebrate the end of the year together in a semi-reserved space in the beautiful hotel located in downtown Pittsfield. You won't want to miss it.
And we are back for our second segment of this podcast Could Have Been an Email with Celia Norcross, Dean of Students here at Berkshire Community College. We kind of ended the last segment talking about what you do and what makes you the Dean of Students. I'm curious, how did you find yourself here? You're a young person. I know a little bit about how you grew up and how you started your college journey, but maybe you could share that with our audience.
So this is going to take like 52 of these podcasts to get all of it in, but I'll try to make it a little shorter for you all listeners, especially Ben and Matt down in Minnesota. So the story goes that I was born in a different country, and I think for all our listeners, that's really important to kind of point out that it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters who you become. And I think that for me, I had a family who wanted me to have grandeur. My dad from a different country wanted me to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. Those are my three options. And I wasn't really feeling all of them, but I thought, okay, I'm the kid. I should listen to my parent and I'll do what I need to do. Go to school, do all the right things, get the good grades, be involved. And it wasn't really till I got to college that I was able to kind of explore a little more. When I was in high school, I was a singer and we were in lots of choirs, and it was a Division I school, so we traveled all the time. And I thought, in college, I'm going to do something absolutely different. So I didn't pick a school that I could sing in. In fact, it was really hard to pick a school. My family didn't have a lot of money. And again, coming from another country with both parents, my first-gen experience was very real. Like, I didn't know anything about college. I remember sitting with my best friend's mom, who was a banker, doing my financial aid paperwork because all of it was so odd. And I thought, when I get to where I'm going, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to do everything that I've ever wanted. So I, on my high school sheet, we had bubble sheets back then, and I just made a little picture of like which I thought was really great, and that was where I picked the schools to apply to. And sure enough, back then when there was paper in the world, the paper mailings came in, and I looked in and started seeing that I was getting accepted to all these schools, knew nothing about any of them, not even where they were. I was in a little bubble in New Bedford, down on the east side of Mass by then. And I remember calling these schools. We had no money, and I was working paycheck to paycheck in high school, giving it to my parents, trying to help bills. And I remember calling all the schools saying, can you take my payment late, this deposit, right? Can you take my late? Can you take my late? And of course, they were all like, no, we've got the highest population. We need your money today, or you can't be here. And there was one school, Western New England University now. It was Western New England College then. And they were like, sure, pay us when you can. No problem. Just bring it on in whenever. So I was like, oh, I guess I've picked my school. I remember going to orientation and taking my parents, dropped me off, didn't know what was going on. I had no ride home. That was a story all for its own next segment, and had to figure out how I was getting home from Springfield. But finally, I get to school, and I did that. I did everything I wanted to. I was class president. I ran. That's another story, but I ran for class president. Didn't get it freshman year. Ended up getting it after that. Was in the campus activities board. I went out for volleyball. Had never played a sport in my life. Went out, made the volleyball team. Was Division III school, so that was a pretty big deal. I sat the bench, really, for 3 years and played my senior year. But hey, I was on a team.
That's pretty great.
I got picked because I was the one who said I was going to motivate everyone to make sure they had the best season possible, even if I didn't play, and I stuck to that. So it was my senior year, though, Joe Scafito, who was a good friend of mine, who was the advisor of the Campus Activities Board, he sat me down one day, and he was like, hey, Celia, have you ever thought of doing this for work? And I looked at him, and I was like, cross-eyed. I'm like, look, do what, Joe? You know? And he's like, you know, I get paid to come to work here and help all of you students. Have you ever thought of this? And I was on a management track, so I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to be managing a hotel. I'm going to be traveling the world. There's no way I'm staying right in a desk at a college. And he's like, you really should consider it. And this was April of my senior year, so one more month and I was graduating. And the dean of students, vice president there, Rick DeRuza, I worked for his wife over the summer in my marketing research firm that she had, and he came in. It was at her home, and he came in, and he was like, I have a job for you. I could really use your talents. I could use your skills. Him and I had an internship with him. We worked really closely together, and sure enough, I became the coordinator of student activities. And I think back, and it's the people you meet that make such a difference to your track, and these little tiny moments that you didn't even think were going to matter mean a huge deal. And for me right now, every moment I have with students, every moment I have with our staff and faculty, just really, I take it all in and I make it shape my life.
It's interesting. Wow. So when you watch sports, there are moments that something big has happened, and the best announcing is when the announcers just shut up and let people talk.
Exactly.
I feel like we just had one of those.
Yep.
I used to teach the intro course for the College Counseling Student Development master's degree program that at the university I worked at. And the first assignment that we gave to students was to ask them why they were going into a student affairs career.
Yeah.
And I taught this class for like 5 years in a row. And the first paper was always one of two things. It was either the story you just told. I was super involved. I was in Res Life. I was in student activities. And I fell in love with this and like one day realized I could do this and get paid to do it. The other was I had an awful experience with someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to dedicate the rest of my career and life to turn that awful experience around.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, when I mentioned I went to school and I didn't have money then, there was a lot of my whole freshman year, every week I'd get a notice that I had to leave school because I didn't have money to stay there. And Stuart Warner, who was my financial aid officer, I would bring him a cookie on Friday and sit there and be like, please, what do I have to do? And he would remind me, okay, you have work study money that came in, give me $50, we'll make it a good faith payment. And again, another person, right, that really changed the scope of the work. It, when I think back now to then, that's the moment that I knew I'd be in higher ed and didn't know it, because he took the patience and time to try to get me everything I needed and to help me navigate that. And that's what I do for students every day here. No matter what the situation is, good, bad, or what they're going through, I channel Stuart Warner and my experience into their experience. And I think we find that in life. Whatever your passion was or whatever was the hardest for you in life, you absolutely tend to get a career around that. And for me, you know, that's why I care so much. That's why I push us all at BCC and wherever I've worked to make sure there's a difference, because it matters. It mattered to me. I would not be sitting here in this wonderful podcast talking to Ben and Matt in Minnesota if that was not the case.
It's really funny. My mom always said the same thing. She was a business professor. My dad was an English professor, and she grew up pretty poor. My dad grew up with immigrant parents who didn't speak English at home and learned English. Yeah. And that's kind of what they found, yeah. and went into those fields of work. So I think there's something to it. You didn't tell the story, and maybe after the break you could tell this one. I love this story about your orientation experience when you went to college.
Oh, okay, I will.
I think how important orientation is. So we'll take another break, and we will be back after this.
Heads up, all you cool cats and kittens! New student orientation is taking place on Thursday, January 15th, 2026, at BCC. We'll be welcoming new students to campus for the frigid cold spring semester. Students will meet in the cafeteria space for 8 a.m. and enjoy a resource fair before they get a chance to head to several breakouts with faculty and enjoy campus tours. Learn more at berkshirecc.edu/orientation.
And we are back to this podcast. Could have been an email with Dean of Students, Celia Norcross. Celia, we ended the last segment waiting with bated breath for you to tell your orientation story. And I just want to start out by saying that part of the reason I find I really like hearing people's kind of transition into college stories. It's probably one of the things that I'm most kind of excited about in the college experience. I always think about how those moments can either be kind of the thing that launches you to move forward, or maybe the opposite. And I think you've got a pretty good one.
Mm, okay. So we channel back way, way back. Let's see. What was it? 94, summer of 94, somewhere in there. And I had mentioned to you already that I didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do. Parents had no money. We picked the school because they were going to take my money. So I went to Springfield. My parents drove this little red truck. He drove me out to Springfield, dropped me off, wave goodbye. I kind of said to them, like, how do I get home? And they're like, yeah, we'll see you later. Call us if you need us. You know, back then on pay phones and not necessarily any cell phones. So there I was. And I remembered my promise to myself. So I got my big girl pants on and I said, okay, I'm going to make the very best of this. I'll figure out how to get home later. So right now I have to do all the things. I have to meet people. I have to find out what this place is about. It was strange. I had never been to Springfield. I had never been really that far out. And I didn't know anybody. It wasn't anyone from school that I had gone there with or knew that was there. So here I was at this overnight program at a very strange place, and I thought, I'm going to make the best of it. And I did. So they have, orientation is just so great. You know, they really prepare you to meet people, to meet faculty, to even learn a little bit about yourself. So it's really kind of nice. So they had all these sessions, of course, where you sit and learn things. We registered for classes. And then at night, we had lots of activities. This is where I actually found out that I was going to try out for the volleyball team. Yeah. I always loved tennis. I was really, my brother and I, Phil, would play tennis. We lived in a city. Outside our house was a tennis court. So I knew I liked sports. I was a singer, right? So I did that. And anyway, so at night, at late night activities, they had all these volleyball nets set up and different activities. And I was playing volleyball and I actually wasn't that bad. Like, I could get the ball over the net and I had some form. I found myself telling other people what to do.
I had this experience with X throwing over the weekend.
Well, then we're going to have to compare notes because I need some help.
I may have missed my call.
I think I'm doing that in New Year, so I'm going to need
some
tips.
It is really fun. It's incredibly dangerous.
And I will help you with volleyball because I've seen you on the court, so I'll give you some tips.
Lizzie,
if you're listening, your dad needs help. We're going to teach him.
Don't worry, she's not listening.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I really enjoyed it. And then, of course, it's orientation and it's overnight program, so everybody stays up. So we all went back to the resident hall and we're just sitting there talking. And it hit me, that I don't have a ride home in 8 hours, right? It's now like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. People are just sitting around talking. It's summer. We decided to go sit on the football field. We're all just kind of hanging out, which is right outside of the residence hall, just chatting, like who you are, what you do, you know, really innocent, great fun. And, you know, now it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, I really don't have a ride home. This is really scary. So I went to bed, and they have more program sessions in the morning. You kind of solidified your schedule. And it was with Dean Zern, who is the freshman dean at Western New England at that point. And he's kind of leading a session, and all the people are sitting around, and we pick our classes. So now it's almost like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And I thought, the session's going to end at 1, and I don't have a ride home. I had met people that lived kind of in proximity and was trying to like weed out over the night, like, oh, would you be able to take me home? Like, how far are you? How close are you? And nobody really worked out. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and everyone has left just about. And I'm sitting in the campus center not really knowing what the heck to do. And Dean Zern came by, and he's like, hey, Celia, is your ride coming? And I said, well, sort of. And he looked at me, and he's like, oh, okay. What time are they coming? We can get you some lunch or whatever. And I said, well, that's just the thing. I'm not quite sure how I'm getting home. Yeah. And he pulled me into the office, and we sat down, and we looked up the Peter Pan, I think it was Bonanza back then, the bus route to New Bedford. It was the last bus left at 2:15 to get to New Bedford. It had like 52 stops before it got there. It was going to arrive in New Bedford at 11 p.m. And I thought, it's only a 2-hour drive, but I'm going to do it. I don't have another option. We looked up cabs back then, when they're cabs, right? Not Ubers. And so anyways, he drove me down to the station. He got me a ticket to the bus. He sent me on my way. I got to New Bedford at 11 and called my mom. Again, back then, my parents did not know what to do or where I was coming home. Right. So I got picked up by mom and told her about all the experience. And again, one more person that really made a difference that took a moment to check in.
And it's been 30 years and you still remember.
100%. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great lesson to all of us, and just the little moments of kindness and the impact that they can have on the people that we work with's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like, of course, I went to school there and got to see Dean Zern and did a lot of things with him, like peer advising and stuff. But it was really just a monumental moment for me for two reasons. One, I can't put myself in that situation again where I just don't know what is going to happen. I then like focused really on making sure I have all my dots, you know, dotted and T's crossed. And I really also did the same for anyone that's in that moment since that day, like anybody who didn't know what they were doing, I capture and put under my wing and figure out together what they want, how they're going to do it and make it happen.
I like that you're dotting your ducks though.
I dot ducks all the time.
I think that when you get your farm in Sheffield, you could hire Celia.
I dot some ducks.
See, I know nothing too. So I will be such a good helper on your farm.
Oh, that's fun.
We could call it that.
The dotted ducks.
Dotted ducks, right?
So one thing that I'm fortunate in having is also getting to be one of the students who can attest to Celia's inspiration for the last, I think I said this, 21 years.
Oh, God, now you're aging us both, sir.
I am. I'm turning 40 this year, so I'm aging us both.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's a good year.
I'll never be eligible for 40 and 40 again after July.
Oh, man.
I already won it. It's fine.
Three times.
Yeah, three times at least. and so, 2004, it's interesting you say that because I'm one of seven siblings, and my parents are like, drop me off at MCLA, and they're like, bye. I mean, my mom cried hysterically.
Did they remember your name?
They still
child number five.
I'm still Joe to them. I'm like, there's more letters. So the same thing overnight trip that we had at MCLA. Yeah. I was in a dormitory in Housatonic, sixth floor, with this gentleman, math student, and I was like, why? What are you doing math anyway? And like, I just wasn't prepared for college in any way, shape, or form, and my parents didn't help me, not because they didn't want to.
They didn't know.
I didn't really let them. I was like, please don't help me. You're going to make things worse. And I show up, and like, I didn't even know it was an overnight. Like, I didn't know I was sleeping over.
You were one of those.
So I didn't bring a blanket or sheets or anything. So I'm just like lying on this like cold mattress. And my roommate at the time, he like gives me his towel.
Oh,
and, like, puts it on me.
So
I was
sweet.
I'll never forget that. I was like, that's so sweet. There was kindness in this world. But also like, woe is me.
What were you thinking?
Like, graduated like a 4.0 from Taconic High School to all the APs. And I didn't know that like, I couldn't read. This is an overnight. you're staying over. And like,
did you not know, or were you hoping to go home? We have some of those, you know, at orientation programs.
Well, no, I mean, I chose MCLA specifically because I was going to go to UMass Amherst, and I was like, no, I can't leave my mom. And so I was like, I got to stay somewhere closer.
It's a big deal. And leaving mom is hard.
Head home every 2 weekends to do laundry, and I did. But yeah, it wasn't that. It was just I really had no concept of it. So can I imagine, like, it's just you don't know what you don't know until you know it, and it's wild.
And then when you do, it's life-changing, right? Like, you have to make sure everybody knows it.
It sticks in your head forever. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
I think that this is a pretty good example of one of the things we talk about. Instead of a this is the reimagining community college books that came out about 10, 15 years ago, but the concept of us not being... not trying to make students college ready, but making colleges student ready.
Absolutely.
And some of the things, really good high school student, have a lot of the skills to do well, but you don't know.
No concept.
Concept. Yeah. And, you know, I think as we work with the students that we work with, we have, it's what you talked about earlier, Celia. It's pushing at the little things that become routine for us. Yeah. People like you and I have been doing this for 25 plus years. We're very, very familiar with college, and we've kind of forgotten what we don't know.
Right.
And I think it's a gift to have a student come to your office and say to you, this isn't working and I don't feel comfortable here. And instead of getting defensive about it, thinking, all right, how do I break out of the fact that I'm in this every single day and redesign it for someone like Jonah, who shows up and needs his roommate to put a blanket or a towel on. And also when and when things break down, be the person who puts the towel on. Be the person who dots the ducks.
Dotting ducks.
We'll take our last break. Thank you again for listening to our podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Don't forget to check out the email communication from President Ellen Kennedy from Friday, December 5th, about how the Governance Council has completed its review of the shared governance structure and guide. These revisions, based on recommendations from our faculty fellow and feedback from listening sessions, make the process simpler, clearer, and aligned with BCC's strategic priorities and accreditation standards. There is a summary of these changes, including a review and revision of goals, structural changes, and transparency measures. Now we're in election season for seats to the Governance Council, with voting taking place by the end of December 19th.
Welcome back to this podcast. Could have been an email with our guest, Celia Norcross, Dean of Students. So we're in the end of the year. We're in December. It's probably be our last episode of the year.
Absolutely.
Curious to know from both of you, what are your holiday plans? And do you have any New Year's? I would say resolutions, but when we did this a year ago with Christina, she doesn't believe in resolutions and thinks we should do goals. So you can do either a resolution or a goal.
Or plan, whatever word. Let's see. So holidays are a little tough this year. As you both know, my mom passed away in April. So we're trying to figure out the new norm. And you know, I think for anyone listening who's lost a loved one or maybe just right now going through that, it gets better. You know, it gets better. And I think that you have to do what you can to be with the ones you care about and love and just take care of yourself. So for me, we've had like little traditions that in past years that we've done. So I'm trying to revive all of them because the last year really was spent taking care of my mom. Yeah. So we didn't get to do a lot of little things. So the little dorky things like making a gingerbread house or, you know, decorating cookies and forcing the children to sit and do that with you. Or, you know, we have this box at home. It's like an Advent wreath box, but it's a box. And Mickey comes to visit every December 1st. We have a little Mickey Mouse figurine. This is way before, by the way, Elf on the Shelf. This is, I created Elf on the Shelf for Mickey. Yes. So Mickey hides in the living room and the children used to have to find him and put them in the box for the next day, and the elves would bring a gift. And we've started that again, and I am like Drew and Bailey, the dog, to look for this Mickey Mouse, and they will get a prize if Mickey is found. We have like a 2-day streak already, so let's see if we can get that more. So for me, right now, the holidays is concentrating on remembering those that I've loved, that I've lost, but also embracing and enjoying the ones I have. My son, Evan, who's the oldest, is in Colorado, and he'll be home for a whole week. Really, really wonderful.
Wow, that's
for
wonderful.
All of you who are listening. I love my family and my children and love when they're all together. It's really heartwarming for me. And my son, Tyler, is starting a new business called TaskMind, and he's going to be a senior this year at UNH. He'll be home. And the baby Drew, as we call him for his whole life, baby Drew, is a senior in Hoosick. So really, I think there's so many monumental moments right now in my life that I'm trying to just make little things back and real and happen. So I'm looking forward forward to eating some good food, listening to some music, and hanging out with my family.
I'm pumped up that you've got Evan for a whole week. Jonah, how about you?
Similarly, a couple weeks ago, we lost a dear loved one in our family as well.
I'm sorry to hear that.
First loss we've had in my family since of any like close family member since 2006. Oh. And that was my grandmother.
My heart is with you, sir.
So we're figuring out that new norm, especially since he had a three-year-old baby, and she's amazing, and I want to have a closer relation with her now. And so trying to make plans to actively put children into my life, even though I actively don't like children.
I was going to say, you don't like kids.
No, I don't.
This is a good resolution, too. Yeah. Sorry, Christina Wynn.
Seriously. So more
she'd just say it's a goal.
It's a goal, exactly. And then one of the things is just Christmas is my favorite time of year. Like, I'm obsessed. I've already seen every Christmas movie. We've been decorating since November 1st. Like, I am ready to rock and roll. We watched Lion in Winter last night, one of my favorite Christmas movies.
That's a good one.
Even though nobody thinks it's a Christmas movie, but it takes place during Christmas.
It does.
It's so good.
It's just a good movie.
So, when I was a freshman in college, I took a class on Gothic literature, and we watched that movie as part of it during a January term. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole and Catherine Hepburn.
Deserved an Oscar. Mm-hmm. His whole life never got one. Anyway, so just we're super hyper family focused. We're all here. We're going to do super hyper family stuff and just be much more lovey dovey than I'm comfortable with. Mm. But I've got to get over that
that's
and
a stretch.
Get used to it because that's what my family needs right now.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
That's great. We're headed to Minnesota like everybody wants to do in late December. So I'm hoping.
It's going to be warmer there, though, Adam. You won't have to have one paw up.
I don't think that's true. I'll get to spend a lot of time with my extended family, and I'm hoping to get to see our dedicated listeners, Matt and
Absolutely.
Ben, and our other friend, Chris.
You gotta get a selfie.
So fun, please.
Yeah.
We'll definitely get a selfie.
Absolutely.
And this is, Celia has gone through this with two kids, but this is our last kind of holiday season with our oldest daughter still living in our house. So we're
you got to do the things then.
We're going to do the things. And I think probably more than anything, I'm just feeling incredibly grateful. I think, as Celia said, you know, having kids is the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and I love them so much. And I'm so excited about the next phase for both of them, senior and junior. But also, you know, it's a transition and some sadness around not having her in our house anymore. Yeah. But thank you, Celia. It's been really fun having you on our podcast.
Yay. I just want to say one last thing.
Go nuts.
It kind of goes with the whole theme, but we have to just remember to be humble, right? Because when we don't think we know anything, we learn everything. And that's how I spend every day. We were talking about it in the last kind of little segment. And if you all can channel that when you interact with a student or you interact with another human, that you know absolutely nothing, it will impart so much wisdom onto you about what the world is really like and maybe what that person's going through. Mm-hmm. So as you enter into the holiday season, be humble and be kind and take care of yourself, but more importantly, look to take care of others.
It's pretty easy to act like you don't know anything when you actively, like myself, don't know anything. So that's I can do that goal right
Check.
Off the top.
Check Another that. Goal yeah. completed.
May you all find light in this dark season of the year.
There it is.
We wish you a happy new year, and thank you for being dedicated listeners this last year to this podcast. Could have been an email, and we will see you in 2026.
Especially Ben and Matt.
Or you will hear us in 2026.
Thanks, everyone.
Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klepetire, for continuing to make this podcast a reality for the dozens of listeners we have across campus and beyond. Special thanks to Celia Norcross for being a constant inspiration to so many people across the Berkshires, myself especially included. Special thanks to Alzi Mercado and Dave Cachet for keeping the lights on, and to you, dear listener, for remembering that all you can do in life is try to solve the problem in front of you. We wish you all a happy holiday season, and we look forward to a new year of content in 2026. My name is Jonah Sykes, and you've been listening to this podcast, Could Have Been an Email, from Berkshire Community College.